This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the General Health Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. On today's show, we are with Dr. Riebel, a psychologist, environmental activist, and faculty member in the Social Transformation Department of Saybrook University. She has been writing and speaking about healthy, sustainable food for almost 12 years. Linda Riebel is here to explain how your health and the environment's health are linked and how our food choices can help us and the earth at the same time. Dr. Riebel, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. So how did you get interested in this issue?
Well, for 25 years, I was a psychotherapist in private practice, and my practice centered on eating disorders. So I got to see for many people how food became kind of a comfort, but it really wasn't making them happier or healthier. So I was always thinking about food issues. Then one year, I took a safari to Uganda, and I learned that people there kill and eat their endangered species. Of course, I was very saddened by this, but of course, they're hungry. I couldn't criticize them because they had to have something to eat. But the event did spur me to investigate what food practices in our own country are harming nature and animals and people. I was shocked at what I discovered. There's so much waste, cruelty, unhealthy food manufacturing, and environmental destruction involved in American food production. My first book about it came out about 11 years ago, and I've been advocating and speaking about it ever since. My current book is called The Green Food Print, and what I've done is to condense a ton of information into the five most important food choices you can make.
So what would your main message be in all this?
Well, the main thing I want people to realize is that industrial food is not good for you and it's not good for the planet. It's made in ways that poison ourselves and the air, the water, the soil. Let me give you an example. Take a blueberry. If it's grown conventionally, that is, with chemicals, it can have 52 different pesticide residues, and this is found in a research project by the USDA. This blueberry has residues of 8 carcinogens, 24 suspected hormone disruptors, 14 neurotoxins, 7 reproductive toxins, and 21 toxins that harm honeybees. Now, your listeners may know that we've got a big problem with bees because they're dying off all over the place, and the chemicals that we're using are probably a major cause. If the bees all die out, what are we going to do? Because they pollinate our food crops. So back to the blueberry. All those chemicals are applied to it before processing and additives. So that's just one example of how our food system is using foods as kind of interchangeable, industrialized ingredients. Fortunately, I'm happy to be able to tell your listeners that it's getting easier all the time to find food that is grown in healthy ways and that is not environmentally destructive. In the 11 or 12 years I've been following this, there are more farmers markets. There are more community-supported agriculture establishments. And by the way, community-supported agriculture, that means a local organic farm that you can join as a subscriber and get a box of fresh organic food every week. You can go to Whole Foods. Even mainstream groceries are stocking healthier foods. Now, I want to tell people about a website called eatwellguide.org. You can enter your zip code and some keywords, and at eatwellguide.org, you'll get back a list of restaurants, caterers, farms, farmers markets, bakers, and so on that create the food you're looking for. So these are just some examples of how much better things are than they used to be.
That's some phenomenal information. Now, why do you think this is important for people to pay attention to?
Because this is a major problem that we can do something about every single day. It's as if the food corporations, sometimes called agribusiness, are conducting a giant science experiment, and we're the guinea pigs. It's as if they're asking, how much pesticide can a person eat before getting Parkinson's disease? Because, in fact, Parkinson's disease has been linked to pesticides. Let me give you an example of how these mega corporations outmaneuver, outspend, and intimidate even the government agencies like the EPA, the FDA, and the USDA. After much struggle, a law was passed in 1990 to create the organic label for the USDA, so requiring that this label be made available to show what food you can buy is developed organically. And guess how long it took for this law to actually be implemented with the actual regulation and the label? 10 years.
Wow.
That is how long the government was stymied and stalled by big business. So basically, big business can feed us cheaply, and you have to give them credit for that. But at what price? Our health and the health of the environment. And it's important for people to know about this because they can do something about it every time they go to the grocery store. The organic portion of the food market has been growing at a phenomenal rate. And so this is one thing that I think is really exciting about this part of the environmental movement. You don't have to buy a Prius to participate. You don't have to invest in solar panels. Those are wonderful things to do, and I've actually done them both. But if your budget is smaller, you can help the earth every day with food choices. Just a few dollars every day spent on organic, for example, will make a big difference.
Today we are joined by Dr. Riebel, a psychologist, environmental activist, and faculty member in the Social Transformation Department of Saybrook University, who has been writing and speaking about healthy, sustainable food for nearly 12 years here on eHealth Radio's General Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Riebel, what are the health benefits of organic food?
Well, the main thing, I think, is what's not in it. All those pesticides we just talked about, all those carcinogens and so forth. Imagine that somebody offered you a cup full of atrazine and asked you to drink it. Atrazine is a weed killer. It is one of the two most commonly used pesticides in the world and used especially on corn crops. And by the way, corn is in everything. It's turned into high fructose corn syrup, which is a sweetener in our sodas and in ketchup and in all kinds of things. So atrazine is in our food, and in fact, we are drinking it. It's been found in 94% of the drinking water samples tested by the USDA. I don't know about you, but that is worrisome. European Union is ahead of us on some of these issues. They banned atrazine in 2004. But here in America, would you like to guess how much of it is applied even today every year? 76 million pounds. And that's just one chemical. The Pesticide Action Network has a wonderful website called whatsonmyfood.org. I'll say that again, whatsonmyfood.org, where you can look up tons of information about which chemicals are on which foods. And as a final point about pesticides, I would just say that some of them were developed during World War II as chemical weapons. And then, after peace was declared, the chemical manufacturers said, what can we do with these poisons? Well, let's turn them into insecticides. So now we're eating biological weapons. So the main thing about organic food is what's not there.
Good explanation. Now, what are the most unhealthy aspects of our industrial meat system?
Oh, well, I've already mentioned pesticides. And farmed animals, that is, animals confined by the thousands in pens and raised industrially, are given grains to eat that were raised with pesticides. So that when you eat meat, you're also eating chemicals the animals ate. And by the way, grains, corn for example, these are not the natural food for cows. It makes them sick, and so they're given antibiotics. So I think it's safe to say beef is not healthy for that reason. Then they give them growth hormones given to chickens and cows in these factory farms to make them grow faster so they can be killed sooner for higher profit. And guess where these hormones go when you eat the flesh of these animals? That's right, into your body. Some scientists are concerned that this might be part of the cause for the fall in the age of puberty, which has been documented, that some girls, for example, are getting their periods as early as age 8 or 9. And I think that's tragic. They're being robbed of their childhood and exposed to greater risk of breast cancer later in life. Then, now, pesticides and growth hormones. I hope your listeners are still with us because this is all scary stuff, and I'll be sure to get back to the good news in just a minute. Antibiotics. The factory farms cram so many animals into pens or cages that they would die of disease if they weren't given antibiotics every day in their food. Did you know that out of all the antibiotics manufactured in this country, 70% go to cows and chickens and other farm animals? Now, you might say, okay, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that there's this thing called evolution, and the microbes and bugs, just like bugs and any other creature, will some of them will survive the administration of these antibiotics, and they are obviously resistant. And then they will breed and produce more bugs. The upshot is the antibiotics are losing their power. And this is very scary for human health because medicines that used to work on microbes are not working anymore. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to die of something that could have been cured 10 or 15 years ago because of misuse in farm animals. Now, let me just mention one other nasty thing. Pink slime made headlines last year. This is made of slaughterhouse waste, connective tissues, cartilage, and all the other beef things that didn't go straight to the packaging for to be consumed. This is junk, and it's swept together and doused in ammonium chloride, and that's to kill Salmonella and the E. coli. Well, then it's blended into burgers and ground beef. So when this came out last year, people were horrified. Schools, supermarkets, and fast food chains stopped using it, and that's a good thing, too. And now the processor of this pink slime has gone out of business. So this is one piece of good news. It means we can make a difference with our opinions and where we spend our dollars. That I do want to add here that as a psychologist, I know that for individuals, a problem often started out as a solution. Something that became obesity started out as eating a little bit of comfort food, but then we took it too far. Industrializing of our food system is the same. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and we've just taken it too far. So, unfortunately, the big corporations have a vested interest in not changing. They hire PR firms to spin things. They intimidate. They buy off congressional representatives and so forth in all those nasty ways that you probably know about. Just one last warning about some of the big pharma, agribusinesses. They used to be food producers, but ultimately they were bought up by tobacco companies. So Philip Morris, for example, is now the Altria Group, which produces some of our foods. RJR Nabisco used to be our Robert J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. So if you trust tobacco people to tell you the truth, then you'll find with these big corporations. But I personally feel like it's important to educate myself and to know how to choose foods that are healthy. And ultimately, I think we're going to be able to influence even the big businesses. So as far as the good news, we can make a difference.
And I was going to ask you, what should our listeners do with all this information that you've provided?
Yeah, you're right, Eric. There's a lot of information out there in the news and newspapers and media, and it can be very confusing. So that's why I've boiled it all down to five main guidelines. If you can remember five things, you can protect yourself and you can protect the environment. And it's all in my book, The Green Food Print. And I should add that it's okay to start small. You don't have to remake your entire food lifestyle instantly. Start small, make a few small choices. I give lots of examples. You can pick which ones fit your lifestyle. So I want to encourage everyone that we've made great strides. There's a food movement. I'm sure you can find good, healthy foods near you. And together, we can turn this around.
Certainly have been really open-mouthed with the information you have given us today. Tell our listeners where they can get more information and also to be in contact with you online to get your book.
Oh, well, you can get my book through Amazon. It's in print. It's also on Kindle. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. My website is www.thegreenfoodprint.com, all one word. And they could order a copy through their local bookstores. So to reach me directly, Linda@thegreenfoodprint.com.
Easy enough. And in conclusion, what one thing could you leave with our listeners in form of a tip?
I want to encourage them to be positive and excited to know that they can save the earth, they can improve their own health every day with their food choices.
Very well said. We've been speaking with Dr. Riebel, a psychologist, environmental activist, and faculty member in the Social Transformation Department of Saybrook University, who has been writing and speaking about healthy, sustainable food for nearly 12 years. And the website of reference, once again, is thegreenfoodprint.com. Dr. Riebel, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the General Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network, and we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.